Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome. Happy Wednesday. How's it going? I'm hoping everybody's having a great week. I know I am. Mountain Man, are you in the building?
Mountain Man is here in the building.
Woof, woof. Mountain Man, he's in the building. How's it going? How's your week so far?
The week has been very nerve-wracking.
Mm-hmm.
Tonight will be the last time for a few days, I hope to try to call in on Monday for Monday's show. But I am getting very nervous because I go into the hospital and so for my surgery. So I am very, very nervous. But I know God has me in his hand, so I know he's going to take good care of me and everything. And
yes, we know everything will be fine. We're going to keep our prayers for you and ask our listeners to keep you in their thoughts. Because you're going in for surgery on Friday. Well, actually, you're going to be at the hospital tomorrow, and then you'll be going into surgery on Friday. So we'll keep an eye on you, have you call in, see how you're doing. Fill us in on everything on Monday. Yeah, so everything will hopefully go okay.
My computer's giving me some technical difficulties over here.
You know, mine is too for some reason. I thought it was just me. Guest 4445, welcome to the chat room. Oh, man, it's crazy. I think it's like a busy today because for some reason everything's just going woo-hoo-y over here. I just lost my switchboard.
I'm trying to get it back myself.
I know, the switchboard, where are you? Come back. Anyway. Hopefully, I see this has nothing to do with my heartline because I'm getting everything rewired in the booth and stuff, and that's not going to help any because obviously yours has gone down too, so it doesn't have anything to do with that. But anyway, our message for today, Wishful Wednesday. Yes, Wishful Wednesday for all our listeners. Today is the day to sit and reflect. I know a lot of people like, oh, it's hump day. I can't wait for the week to be over. Don't do that. That's like wishing your life away. Just think of a positive way for you to pump yourself up. And if there's something that you're not happy about, think of ways to adjust it and change it so you can be happy. One of the things I was reading somewhere the other day was that people are always looking outside of themselves to make themselves happy, to figure out what to do to bring joy into their lives. But the reality, it all starts within us, inside ourselves. So we got to make sure that we start focusing on what's going inside our heads and inside our hearts. And what do we need to adjust to actually be happy and be able to adjust it? Sometimes it's just a little adjustment. Sometimes it could be a big adjustment. Sometimes we don't even know what that adjustment is. It might have been something that happened to us as a child, something that someone said or did to us, and we haven't been able to overcome that. So it takes a lot of courage to actually start, as I say, rummaging in the closet because there's dark, creepy things in the corners. But you know what? I know.
I know that feeling.
I know, but you know what? The good thing is once you do the digging and you clean it out, it's cleaned for good. And then when that feeling comes, if you don't know why you feel bad about yourself or what's going on, at least now you know what it is. And the more you deal with it, every time it comes up, it's going to be less and less every time it comes up. And then you're going to be able to overcome it and then maybe teach someone else how to clean out that sticky closet and be able to move on with their lives.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, so Mountain Man is in the building. I'm so excited. We have Eric Eastman is going to be our guest tonight. If we can get the support going around in circles. Yes, Eric Eastman, amazing actor. I mean, he's just amazing stage actor, film actor, improv, you name it. Eric does it. He's just phenomenal. I'm so excited. Yes, yes. Oh, the switchboard is back.
I had it before you.
Oh, see, the little things in life make me so excited. Ah, I can
sorry for everybody who is listening. But
I know. They're probably saying, what is wrong with those two? Oh, man.
But we are just having some technical difficulties over here. But everything is fine. Everything's back up and running. So
we're back to normal. Yay. Anyway, so going on with our show today, one of the other things I wanted to let people know, Friday, I'm so excited, 7 o'clock, special time, 7 o'clock, because we are going to be switching the show to 7 p.m. starting probably in December, but we are going to have a few shows that are going to be scheduled for 7 o'clock. So from now on, November 6th, 13th, and 27th, the show will be on at 7 p.m. The November 20th show will still be on at 8 o'clock, and that's because we have Woody Batavo on, great director, producer, has a great project in the works, and I cannot wait to have him. He's been out in L.A., Cape Cod, all over the place. So, yeah, I'm excited about that. And November the 23rd, 7 p.m., we're going to have Papa Soul Nakazu. Oh, I'm so excited. He has this amazing animation-type show that he created himself on YouTube, and it's really cool. And on top of that, he's a voiceover actor. He's created over 100 songs in all different genres. And if you get a chance to check out the show he did on YouTube, there's like 6 or 7 different voices in it, and he did all the voices, every single one of them.
Wow.
He's just an amazing man. And his music goes all genres. I mean, all the singing you hear on the YouTube videos, all the music he wrote himself, he did the singing himself, he did all the animation, he drew all the animation himself as well. He directed it, he edited it, he produced it, blah, 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 blah. He did everything himself. I'm just so psyched to have him on.
Wow,
also,
that is awesome.
Oh, I know. Oh, man, Monday. I'm hoping you can hear the show. We are having this little girl, Rhea Eaton. Oh, my goodness. Listeners, go to the segment page. Click in. I put a video of her up there with her song Flake. Oh my goodness. That's all I can say.
That good, huh?
Her voice is phenomenal. I'm encouraging everybody to check her out on MySpace, Rhea, R-I-A, Eaton, E-A-T-O-N. I also put up a link on her segment page. You can click right on it and hear the song and hear the video. We'll hear the song again on Monday. Amazing talent. Like I said, 14 years old, just getting started, and her voice sounds like she actually reminds me of a young version of Mariah Carey. Yeah, she has that caliber of voice, and like I said, she's only 14, so she can only get better from here on.
Exactly.
So yeah, I'm really excited about that. Wednesday, November 11th, happy Veterans Day to everybody. We have a couple of guests. One is a gentleman. He is a veteran of the Iraq War. He's going to talk to us about overcoming the effects of traumatic stress syndrome and also creating a career for himself after the fact in the acting industry and also being able to reach out to other veterans returning from war. So he's going to be on. I'm also going to have a gentleman from the Mass State Guard, a volunteer component of the National Guard that has been on stand down for whatever reason. We'll discuss on Wednesday, volunteer component. So that'll be good to listen into them. The 13th, lucky Friday the 13th.
Friday the 13th.
Wow. Oh, I love Friday the 13th. It's like my lucky day. People think I'm weird because I always have like the most amazing days on Friday the 13th. And it's always been like my lucky number. I always win stuff with that number and I get so excited about it. So, yeah, anyway, we're going to have the group ASG. For those of you that listened to the show when we had Amanda McCarthy, Debbie Scatuto is going to be on there too because that's another one of her groups. I'm so excited. I'm actually kind of bummed because I have to go away this weekend for an event. And November 8th, Debbie Crosby and Debbie Scatuto are having the TV Quest, Talent Quest, and they're at the Hard Rock Cafe, and they're actually having the show this Sunday. And Cardiac had gotten invited to be one of the guest judges, and unfortunately we're all going to be out of town, so we're not going to be able to go.
Oh, yay, man.
Yes, I am so bummed out. I'm like, no, I wanted to go.
I am bummed.
Well, but luckily she told me they're having another one in January. So
yay.
I told her, yes, that's what I said. You got to put me down. I'm definitely going to go there, so I'm so excited. Tomorrow night we get to go to the premiere for the movie Bridge Crusader that we're going to talk about in a little bit when Eric calls in. And also after that, we got invited to the Blessed by Blessed Couture Thank You benefit they're having over at the Red Sky. That's going to be amazing. I'm hoping to get Blessing on the show, too. Blessed by Blessed Couture is an amazing line of clothing that was designed. And on top of that, he gives out about 50% of the profits to charity. An amazing man, amazing life, that a lot of obstacles that he's had to overcome. So, yeah, I can't wait. And, of course, November the 25th, we're going to have the one and only Mark Wood. For those of you that have listened before, Mark Wood is an amazing 22 years old. He does his own online.
I'm going to have to catch you there.
Yes.
Because.
Oh, I got to tell our listeners about Mark. Hold on one sec. Mark, 22 years old, he ran for mayor of Salem. And people are like, no way. This kid got over 190 votes, which is amazing because no money, just word of mouth. And I encourage our listeners to an eye out for him in the next 4 years because I'm pretty sure we're going to hear from him again. Anyway, go ahead, Mark, man, take it away.
Well, we got two on here, so I'm going to
hit me up with the 603 line. Hit me up with the 603.
I already did the 303.
Hello, how are you?
Hi.
Hey, who is this?
My name is John Hartman.
Hey, John, how are you? Nice of you to call in. What's going on? Eric, are you in the building?
As a matter of fact, I am, Charlie.
And Eric, hello. How are you? How's it going?
Doing terrific. Right now in Providence, Rhode Island at a film actors meeting. Learning the tricks of the trade from some of the best film actors in southern New England, actually.
That is excellent. Excellent. So we'll get right into it. Eric, I want to ask you, how did you get started into acting? What made it that interest for you, the passion? And we'll start from there. So how did you get started into acting?
Well, I'd be happy to answer that question, and I will do so. But first, let me greet my good friend and collaborator, John Hartman. How are you, John?
I feel well. How are you, Eric?
Peachy keen, my friend. Thanks for calling in. It's good to have you on the show with us. To answer your question, Charlie, my goodness, I can't remember a time when making believe wasn't a serious business for me. You know, I guess from the days that I can remember, Halloween, I was hooked. It was an opportunity to get outside yourself and be someone new and learn a few things about what it's like to be someone new.
That's funny, Eric. I never thought of Halloween that way. That's a great way of looking at it because you're right. If you get into character and you put time and effort into dressing up and stuff, you're right. That is kind of like the beginnings of creating a character and making it.
And if you, sure, if you really invest yourself in it, which I never see a reason why not to invest yourself in a character that you're dressing up as, for example, you always learn something new about yourself. So.
That's very true. So you went from creating a character for Halloween. What was your first production that you were in and when you realized that, wow, I think this is something I want to do for the rest of my life?
That's a two-part question. when did I realize I want to do this for the rest of my life? I think that matter was never in question. Whether I'd be making it my livelihood was obviously that's a great big question. But did plays from being a little kid back in grade school. I remember doing Peanuts or Snoopy or whatever it's called, and I had a chance to play Charlie Brown.
Get out of it. That's so funny you mentioned that, because my very first play when I was like 7, I was actually Lucy in You're a Good Man, Charlie Brown.
No way. That's fantastic. Yeah, I got to play Charlie Brown and sing about the, you know, that cute red-haired girl that I was scared might notice that I liked her. You know, She's looking at me.
Oh, wow, it was the same play. That's awesome, Eric. And the thing is, now, how were your parents? Did they encourage you? What did they think of their son being an actor?
I wouldn't say they discouraged me, but it wasn't something that came naturally to them. They didn't necessarily relate to it. It's not a theatrical family, per se, but certainly not unsupportive either. So that's a roundabout way of saying that, yeah, I mean, once it became apparent that this was a passion, well into my adulthood, mind you, they would, you know, whenever possible, attend the shows and come to see it and definitely be seen as audience members who cared about my efforts, cared about the craft. So, I love them for that.
Well, that's kind of cool. At least they weren't like my parents who said, no, you need to get a real job. No.
I've heard plenty of that. I've heard my share of that. But, you can't blame a parent for wanting a sure thing for their children and wanting security and all those things that people think are so important, which if you really look at the way the world works, and especially exemplified that by the recent economic shakeups, there's never any such thing as a sure thing when it comes to material possessions. And if you look back on your life, really the greatest wealth is in doing what you love and following your passion. I guess if you can find a balance between the pursuit of those things, that's really what you ought to be doing.
Absolutely. Now, real quick, John, how did you get started in the film industry?
Oh gosh, it was a fluke thing. But I guess no, I take that back. There are no accidents. This is too monumental. definitely was not a happy accident. I would say that it appeared as such at the time. But I was 38 years old, and I was at Regis University, and a couple of students were checking out a VHS old school video camera, and I thought, wow, that's really cool. I wish I had a camera. You know, I was very naive at the time. I thought cameras were extremely expensive. I had no clue. And, I had a formal education. I was an alumnus, at Regis University. So I asked them, could I do this? Could I check one of these cameras out? Oh, yes, of course you can. My God, it's the media center. You're one of us, yes. So I took this big giant monolith of a camera out and started to make a film called Karma Rider, which was about a Vietnam veteran who was having some psychological problems, and he rode across the country on his motorcycle. And I guess as some of the ideas for Bridge Crusader came from that original story. And it was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun. I decided to become a filmmaker within the space of about 15 seconds. Because
wow, that's awesome.
I just bought a motorcycle. Somebody said, yeah, you can use our camera, and yeah, you can use our editing machine, and we have this big editing suite here for guys just like you. And
that's awesome. That is amazing.
Didn't know much about it.
Yeah.
Went out and
kind
made
of a it is kind of, yeah, it's kind of like on-the-job training, I guess, when it comes to that. It's funny because I just recently edited my very first project. It was just a play we filmed, and I'm like, oh my gosh, it's like pulling your hair out when you don't know what you're doing, but it's job basically on the job that you just got to do it, because that's really the only way. Now,
yeah,
Eric, I have a question, John, not to cut you off, but Eric, so you started acting, you knew you liked it. When do you feel you had that role that really defined you as an actor? Again, going on the premise that it's what made you feel proud of it, that that one piece that you feel that you can show up as an exhibit to your ability and to your craft?
Wow, fantastic question.
Hold on 1 second there, Eric. Charlie, I think we have Shelley on the line.
Well, let's hold her off first. Yeah, no, we'll hold her off and let Eric continue his question
first,
and then we'll take calls. So anyway, Eric,
Yeah, that's a great question. If, you know, as I sort of alluded to a moment ago, you know, each character that you do, that, you know, at the level I'm at now, where I'm pursuing this as a full-time profession, obviously you take it very seriously, and you vest your mind and your heart into really getting underneath each character. But even back before I was treating it with that much gravity, I've always taken characters seriously. For some reason, I just did. And I wish I could name one defining character, but I don't know that I can, although there are some that will never leave me. And one of them I'm going to cite as Georg von Trapp, because when I had the privilege of playing that role, playing Captain von Trapp in The Sound of Music about 12 years ago, and with the oldest continuously running musical theater company in New Hampshire. They're called Actor Singers, and they're based in Nashua. It was an emotional journey that I related to, but it was new because I wasn't accustomed to being the kind of guy that would sort of ice up emotionally and detach himself emotionally from his kids. And that character had to do that because he was dealing with the death of his wife, and he was bereaved and all that stuff. And then eventually, in the course of the story, Maria, of course, wakes him back up to the things that matter, and he emotionally reconnects with his kids. That, to me, was a huge deal. And I am a father, and I love being a father, and it's my favorite role on the planet Earth. So the short answer to your question is, the favorite role I've ever discovered that told me the most about myself was being a father in real life. And the roles I've had on stage or in film that have spoken to those feelings, I would say, would be the ones that matter to me the most.
That's awesome. Now, one of the things is, before I ask John a question, is a lot of people ask me, and I haven't had, well, I've done a couple of heavy roles, but nothing that big yet that I can say I have to go outside myself that much. How do you define that role, make it so real, and then walk away from it to be able to create another role? Because I've actually seen you where you're actually creating two and three roles at the same time.
Yes, you have.
And it's funny because it's like, okay, he's having an identity crisis because he just went from being this captain, and then he was this person, and then he's this other. So
John has seen this too, and firsthand, believe me. So
how are you able to put that into, to be able to go from character to character and then create such incredible separate individual characters, and then once you're done, just let them go and move on to the next one?
Okay, well, you know how, but part of it is a collaborative process with the people that are directing you and the people that have created the story that you're injecting yourself into in order to properly bring it to life. So that's a big part of it. And so to some extent, I think, you know, John as a writer and a director can also speak to that theme. But what I have found is that we each, when we're in a room with different people that we like or don't like, we talk to them slightly differently. We have a different rapport with each person that we know, and whether we care about them, don't care about them, or whatever. Each character is like those other people, and in order to play them properly, you need to get to know them. So I have discourse. I have a rapport with my characters. And, I mean, you know, that sounds highly schizophrenic, and so what? That's fine. And I let them talk to me, and I ask them questions, and I really, you know, a lot of it's done in my own head, but if I'm alone in the house or something, then it's all out loud, and it's really probably pretty funny to watch. But they inform me about their backstory and about why they feel the way they feel at this moment in their lives. In other words, point in this story, why they say the things they do and do the things they do, and what they want.
See, that actually makes a lot of sense.
Well, yeah, it's just human. It's human. And it's what we do with our friends, and it's what we do with people we meet. That's how we get to know how we should relate to them. And
now,
so it's a very organic process, I would say.
Right. And now, on that note, I want to ask John. Now, you hear the perspective from the actor of how he creates these characters. John, how do you take this character that you see on a piece of paper and visualize it and put it on film?
Well, that's an interesting question, because I don't always do it. I often allow the characters to do this themselves. And Eric touched on something very interesting, which happened just the other day. We were filming together, Eric and I, for the IndieTube, which Charlie is also a part of now. Thank you, Charlie.
Mm.
And I had envisioned a different feel for the character, and Eric just said, let me show you what I have first. And I warmed up to it and became this diabolical guy, and I thought, no, his character's not that diabolical. I don't see it that way. But when I saw Eric do it, I believed in it. So I often let people do their own thing to a degree. It depends on how attached I am to my own vision, but often I let the person that I'm directing direct themselves first, or I listen to other people, or I try to listen to my intuition. I call it third eye filmmaking. And I try to listen to what the universe wants as opposed to what I want, and maybe meet the cosmos halfway, I guess.
That's actually an interesting perspective from both of you, because of the fact that people always think that acting is just something you learn or something you take a class for. They don't understand the concept of, like you said, drawing from the cosmos, or actually drawing from a character to have the character tell you what their background story is. And a lot of people are like, whoa, these actors are really off their rocker. But you have to. I mean, it's like reading a novel.
Maybe not, but sure.
We are a little
Charlie,
nuts to be in this business, but.
Charlie, I'm giving you and Eric an astral hug right now.
Yay. I got to tell you, I have worked with John many times, and I have seen him in those moments when he's receptive to what the universe is saying to him, and it's very intuitive and very inspiration-based. And I learned by doing to trust that process, and watching him undergo that process as a director and as a writer has helped me to better visualize what I want to do, and to better have that element of trust in the natural development of what it is you're trying to get across. I've seen it work beautifully and bountifully on the screen, and so for me, that's all the evidence I need that if you bring that kind of trust to the table, that your material and your characters and your story already have life and have a heartbeat, that the rest will take care of itself. So I agree with John totally on that.
It is. It's very important. The other thing I love about John is that he's actually one of the first directors that I felt like, oh, we're done kind of thing, because it was so effortlessly. There was no pain or agony in creating this character and just doing what needed to be done. And all of a sudden it's like, oh, we're done? As opposed to this one where you're sweating bullets halfway through it, because it's like you just can't seem to get the character right, no matter how tiny the part is, because there's that constant pressure. And when John talks about, and you too, Eric, about being in tune with the universe, I was just floored to actually, I think this is the one, I felt it before, but this is the very first time that I've seen it in action, where it sounds weird. I feel like there should be like a chant in the background of what I'm saying right now, because
It's very real world. I mean, it's not this elusive, you know, metaphysical process where you have to be this hyper spiritual person and do all this. I mean, I know that John is, and he does a lot of meditating, and he's got his own spirituality, and that obviously orients him, and I have mine and what have you. But I don't think this process is something that's just so difficult to grasp. I think it just has to do with having enough trust in yourself and trust in your ability to intuit where you need to go with the story. And you make your adjustments along the way.
It's very true, because
On that note, I would like to say that as corny as this may sound, I endeavor to. I'm not saying that I'm very successful. Because I'm more of a right brain person, I endeavor to let God direct the film and let me be the co-director, if that makes any sense. I know that sounds corny.
No, it's not. Actually, it's awesome because of the fact that, I mean, the way I look at it, and I've seen it even with Eric, it's the and the other actors, that God created the earth, from my belief, so why would God not create a fictional character that we're trying to portray to bring a message across? And just from what I've seen from Eric, like, I've worked with him a couple of times, and one of them was a real hokey character, and to see what he did with it, that even then he touches you. You know what I mean? Like, it's very true. Something there that's just, yeah, it's amazing. Like, even watching the trailer for Bridge Crusader that we're going to talk about in a little bit, it blew my mind because it touched me. There was just something there so bittersweet and so spiritual and so I can't put my finger on, that it moved me to the point that I wanted to know more about the character. And Eric, this is a testament to you, because just the way you do the voiceover touched
me. Yep.
The nuances in your voice, the softness, it's like I could feel all the conflicts of the love and the loss and the everything in that. And then to see, John, from your perspective, the camera angles, the softness of the lights, the changes in contrast and shadows, it just blew my mind because it was crazy.
Well, thank you for all that praise. It's really, especially based on the trailer alone, I do hope and implore, actually, your audience members to take your cue and your very kind words and actually see the whole film, because they have an opportunity to do that tomorrow night nearby. And I really hope that folks can come out and come down and see this film in its entirety on the big screen. That's happening tomorrow night.
Definitely. The movie's going to be showing tomorrow night at the Regent Theater, and that is in Arlington on Medford Street. The movie starts at 8 o'clock.
Yes, 8-ish. There's going to be a sword fight and some belly dancing, but around 8-ish, we intend to
We like 8-ish. That's a very, very good time for the movie. And it's, what, $7 a ticket, $7.50?
$7.
Yeah.
$7
can't
a ticket
beat it.
To get it. What?
Can't beat it.
No, you can't. The cinema there, too, it's a great time. It kind of gives it the old time feeling. I remember back in the day when I was a little girl, my dad worked in a little movie theater like that, and kind of reminiscent of that. But they only showed one movie at a time, which I thought was kind of cool back in the day. But yeah, it's a great movie, and I'm telling you, it blew my mind just because of the fact that I can't even explain it. I mean, it's a concept. The fight scenes alone that I saw in the trailer, I do fight scenes. I've had to do fight scenes because of my background, and they were realistic. They were well done. The editing was amazing. So it's not one of these cheesy fight scenes where you're like, oh, yeah, right, that's fake. I mean, you guys look like you were really trying to kill each other, and that's part of it, but it added to it. And for me, from the sword fighting point of it was very, very well done. A lot of finesse, a lot of very authentic, and it's just very believable. And Eric, you just sold it, and John, you just captured the nuances of the period. Not to give too much away, but the periods as they changed from era to era, it was interesting to see how you changed the way you filmed it in a way to reflect that. So, again, it was just, I loved it. I think the concept was very novel, very different, and I love the way it was filmed. And Eric, you just made it. I can't imagine anybody else playing that character.
Yeah.
Well, I, you know, the real Bridge Crusader was the guy behind the camera.
I don't doubt it.
There's another Bridge Crusader, and that's the big projectionist in the sky. Because I'm telling you guys, I'm not that smart. I'm not that developed. I really, really didn't. I didn't edit this film. I didn't shoot this film. I didn't write this film. I was just seriously half the time, at least, I was a conduit for something else. Because I'm kind of a space cadet a lot of times. And I just, you know, I dig on what I'm feeling, and I feel like creating that world, so I allow it to happen.
Yep.
Very true, John. That's a very good way to look at it. And it's funny, us space cadets, there's a lot to be said for us. I think because we are space cadets, we're more in tune when that intuition and that inspiration comes. Because I know I've had that happen to me in writing, when I do writing, and it just seems crazy that I will write something, and I'm like, ooh, where'd that come from?
Right.
Like you said, I'm not that smart. It's just like something put it in there, and I was able to put it on paper, and it's an amazing feeling when that happens.
You have to be willing to be the conduit, that's all. That's the smart move. That's the only smart move.
And you know what's funny, John, and even Eric, because I see how you create the characters, that can be very scary for a person. Because it's something that all of a sudden, it can be, because it's like you're thinking that this should be one way, and then all of a sudden this thing comes over and you go, no, we want it this way. And then you're like, okay, that was weird.
And it's not supposed to be easy. It's called storytelling, and stories are not about easy circumstances usually, especially the ones you want to pay attention to and listen to.
Absolutely. Eric, real quick, I have to share this with you. In the chat room, I have this person that logged on. The person says, I have had the inside privilege of watching Eric create, quote-unquote, a character. The metamorphosis he goes through is astonishing. He doesn't just memorize dialogue, but actually, quote-unquote, becomes that person. The depth of his own soul that he dwells in order to find some redeeming quality, even in the most despicable character, is nothing short of incredible. Method acting at its finest. What Eric brings to the table of any production, be it film or theater, is pure talent and professionalism and the ultimate commitment to the project. And then as an after note, they put, plus he makes a mean omelet.
What's that last bit?
The handle name is Dark Irish, so you can figure it out from there. But that, I thought, was just a testament to your acting.
Okay. Well, I don't know what to say. Some people undergo the pins and needles of the process more than others with me.
You know, and it's funny, and John can also relate to this, because obviously as a director, he has to see the metamorphosis that actors go through when they're creating a character that he's written or that he once portrayed, because I'm blessed. I have a couple of children that are into acting, and they're just as much of a space cadet as I am, so it's good to have them to be able to bounce characters off and to be able to read through and that kind of stuff, and it is. It's an amazing process. And like John said, when you open yourself up to that, it just blows your mind. And John, I have a question. What actually created, what started the Bridge Crusader for you? How did that come up?
Oh, gosh. Well, in 2006 in the summer, I happened to be living with my father in Maryland, where I'm from. And I thought, well, while I'm here, my father was sick and I had lots of free time and I had a little bit of money. I thought I would venture up to New England, which I often did in the past, because I love New England, the wooden cover bridges, the colonial structures, the lighthouses, and the abandoned forts. And so I thought, why don't I just go up there and either buy a motorcycle, or I'll meet somebody who has a motorcycle, and I'll just do a short film of somebody who is a bridge connoisseur and who I don't know if I can say it. I don't want to give away the story, so I guess I really have to backtrack. Who meets a mysterious woman, and they do a bunch of wild things, and I was basically just going to make a short film of about 20 minutes long of a visually explosive happening. And that was basically it. That was the spark. So my film partner, Z. Zarbach, decided to fund the project to the point where we started to really, really expand and started to actually write a script, kind of a skeleton of the script. And we filled in the meat of the act later, but the skeleton was there. And we decided to make an actual short story, not so much an experimental film, which was the original vision, just an experimental film. And it totally turned out different than I had envisioned, because when we started to meet the people, it just morphed. The story morphed itself into something which was just as much as a surprise to me as anyone else. So I'm not sure I can really answer that, because, like I said, I'm not sure I wrote it. I'm not sure I did it. I just kind of I felt like doing something, and this is what happened. That was the result. So,
if I may interject, Charlie. It really is the case that John stays open to possibilities. I mean, when he sees something in his head as a cinematographer and a director, and he has a vision for something, and he's very clear on what that is. He's absolutely not remotely shy about putting his foot down and saying, this is what I want filmed. This is something I need to capture. But when it comes to the collaborative process, especially when he can see that a fellow team member or artist, what have you. In my case, I was, lead actor in this. But it was a script that developed organically, and he tends to be very receptive to something of a democratic process most of the time. When it comes to how this thing should develop and how it should grow. And it's really, I see it as much of a child that we raised as he does. And I'm grateful for that.
Now, on that note, I want to ask John, what was it about Eric's audition that made you say, yeah, this is the guy?
Very funny.
This is going to be interesting.
You're messing with me. You know I don't do auditions, right?
Yes, I know.
Okay. All right, so you are playing with me. I saw Eric on Facebook, and I thought, that's the guy. I mean, this guy looks like – he looked like a whole bunch of things that from my childhood. An actual dashing Gulliver is what I had in mind. I thought, this guy looks like Gulliver, but he looks dashing. I thought, this guy looks like a pirate, and he looks like – it's hard for me to describe, but when I saw Eric, I thought, man, he's too young. He's too young. And when I looked on Facebook, the range was the youngest was 36 that I would take, and I saw this guy and I thought, oh man, I wish he was a little older and
oh, that's funny.
He turned out to be just the perfect guy, based on the visuals. I never met the guy, and when I spoke to Eric on the telephone, oh my God, well, we all know that he has this amazing timbre to his voice, and his voice is just to die for. So I thought, this is just like a blessing. I mean, I couldn't believe it. My jaw hit the ground when I listened to the guy talk. It was just amazing. I mean, he's got one of the greatest voices. He's like, what's that guy's name, the real famous guy?
Our producer. Yeah, right. Z accuses me of sounding like Mel Gibson, and I know she has a very acutely trained ear because she studied opera and sang opera, but I have to confess, nobody else has ever said that to me. I find
Eric, she's right on, because I got the privilege of working with Mel Gibson last summer, and yes. She's right on the money, especially because for the last 20 minutes, I've been racking my brain going, who does Eric remind me on the now that I'm listening to you? And I'm like, oh my gosh, it's Mel Gibson, because I got to listen to him for a couple of months talking. Yeah. Yours is a little bit deeper than his, but yeah, definitely she pegged you good.
Perhaps one day I'll be able to keep such esteemed company and I'll be able to do the Banderas look and the Gibson voice, and I'll no longer have to compare to other people. They'll be comparing themselves in the reverse. You never know.
Yes, and that actually was my first, and John, totally agree with you, when things just happen for a reason. I don't have the time to get into it, but Eric, I had sworn that I had already knew him, because it seemed that everywhere I went, Eric was there, and I had him on Facebook in our film space, and I even remember going to an audition for a production, and I saw Eric, I kind of waved, he waved back, and my husband's like, oh, who's that? I'm like, oh, that's Eric Eastman, and I'm like, and then he's like, where'd you meet him? And I'm like, I can't remember.
Some in the ether somewhere.
Yeah, but it was funny because I had not physically met him yet, but it felt like it. So the first time we worked together was, it's funny you brought Antonio Banderas. We were up in Maine for an interview, and he created this amazing script. And it blew my mind. It was just so funny, and just I was laughing. I had to bite the inside of my cheek a couple of times to keep from laughing because they were filming this, and Eric just created this amazing character. It was just too funny. I can't wait till they actually show it.
That was a fun day. That was a fun day.
It was a fun day. Eric, to the short of it, Eric actually was playing Antonio Banderas, pretending to be Eric Guzman because he was tired of being compared to Eric Guzman, and the host of the show kept saying, Mr. Banderas, we talked about this. I don't want you. I want Mr. Guzman. Now you're going to have to let him go because Antonio had actually kidnapped Eric Guzman to be able to be on the show instead of Eric. It was hysterical. So when you talk about the projects taking a life of their own, I totally get you on that. So I actually have, hey, Mountain Man, are you still there?
No, I'm not. I'm off.
No, he's going to run away. Yeah, he's doing other stuff. Hey, listen, why don't you tap me into that switchboard, see what this crazy world has in store for us.
What do we have here?
You mean that the fourth caller there? Hold
yes.
On.
Patrick Drew.
Patrick Drew. Is this Shelly Nunchucks?
Yes, it is.
Shelly, what's going
on, girl? Hi. I'm just so excited. I'm here cuddling with my kitties. I'm just like, I wake my cats up because I am so excited for tomorrow night. I'm like, Rich Crusader. I'm like, you guys, I'm listening to the whole show, and I'm like, no, I'm on a whole different level than you guys. Because when I saw it, I was like, oh, action film, right? And I'm getting so excited. I go, oh, everything's in it. Oh, look, it's Brandon. I worked with Brandon Stumpf, wasn't it?
Yes, he was.
Because I work with him on High Heel Samurai, and he was always very, like, kind to me and stuff like that, and I'm hoping to work with him on The Fixer, and I'm like, I didn't know Brandon's in it. And then I saw Leo, and I'm like, Leo, I work with Leo. Leo's so cool. And I'm just like, the stuff he does, the stunts and stuff, utterly amazing. And I just cannot wait to see this film. You guys are going to have to really tie me down in the seats tomorrow.
I have to believe that Shelley is easily one of our greatest fans, and I love her infectious enthusiasm immensely. And Shelley, if I may take off on something you just said, two of the talents that you just mentioned, Brandon Stumpf and Leo K. Angelos, are people that we were privileged to have as a big part of Bridge Crusader. And Leo has gone on to continuously produce fantastic work in the area of stunt coordination, because he's a very gifted stunt coordinator stage and film fighter. And he's also a great cinematographer, director of photography, all that kind of stuff. And Brandon, his career has blossomed, with the Fixer series and other things that he's done. So, how did we get so lucky, John, to have all these up-and-coming people? And how did we
not luck. It's not luck. I'm telling you.
It blows my mind, dude.
It's the finger of God. It's only luck for someone who's not able to see the connecting dots. I'm a faithful guy. I see nothing less than the finger of God because the cast is too brilliant.
It's amazing.
It couldn't be coincidence. It's just not possible.
I mean, this is 3 years ago. 3 years ago, and yet, before any of these people had rising stars in the greater Boston area and beyond, and all of them, every single one of the key players in Bridge Crusader are making a huge name for themselves. It's unbelievable.
Hallelujah.
You know, it's funny, too, because of the fact that two things hit me about what you just said. One, it's that I'm also very spiritual, and just the fact that the trailer touched me to the point that I remember when you mentioned it to me last year, I wasn't able to go to the premiere that you guys had last year, but I had already seen the trailer for it before I even knew you.
Oh, wow.
It blew my mind because it's one of those where you click and then you wind up somewhere. And I had seen the trailer and it blew my mind and I really wanted to see it. And I remember mentioning it to my husband saying, I really want to see this movie. Didn't know where they were playing it. And then I swear to goodness, I think it was like 3 or 4 days later, you handed me the flyer for it. And I almost just about fell off my chair because it blew my mind. I'm like, okay, this is destiny. I have to see this movie. And then the fact that, fast forward, I remember even reaching out to Z, saying to her, I really want to see this movie. When are you ever going to show it again? Do you have it on DVD? And then I guess I freaked her out because she's like, oh, my God, I just put this thing together because we're actually going to book the theater to show it again. And I'm like, it's not coincidence. I probably have to see this movie for something. And it's just the fact that you guys have been in my circle in the weirdest ways. And it is. It's just not a coincidence that all these particular people got together to make this amazing movie, especially with the fact that it clicks. You know what I mean? Like you just mentioned the choreography for the fight scenes, which are amazing. They're not overdone. They're not cheesy. They actually add to the story instead of taking away from them, which can
and
be very hard to do. Yes, yes. And that's the thing too, John. It's very hard to do that type of fight scene and have it not take away from the movie or not distract from the story that you're telling. And it was just amazing. And when you said that, Eric, I kind of felt like what John was saying, that you were actually born to do this part, because it's almost like the cosmos wrote this part just for you.
Well, could I intervene just for a moment?
Please, by all means.
Sorry, Eric and Leah, while we're on this topic, came up with a fight which was, gosh, I don't know, Eric, but was no less than, took you guys 3 hours to really master it. I mean, the fight was about, I don't know, a 1 minute long fight or a 45 second long fight. Probably about a whole minute. It was a very, very good fight. I didn't need the footage. And Leo said, look, we did this. We worked really hard on this. You don't have to use the footage. Let us just do it for you, and please film this. Well, now, filming something is expensive when you're using a Super 16-millimeter camera. It's not that simple.
Mm-hmm.
There's money. There's time. It's like, okay, I can film this, but you spend about $200 doing this. But I thought, okay, they did this. They worked at it. They're asking me to do it. I'm not getting any bad vibes at all. I'm going to do it. I'm going to film it. I took a chance, and oh, my God, I'm so glad I did, because it's pretty much the best fight in the whole film. And it was never even written. It was never supposed to be a part of the film. This was presented to me.
It was spontaneously choreographed, and I want to give a big up to Leo K. Angelos. Here's a guy who came to America at 18 from Southeast Asia, from Vietnam. And at age 20 is when I met him, and he was choreographing fights for a Batman fan film being made in the Boston area.
I was part of that.
Yep. Batman,
I was tied to a chair in a basement.
Sure, Batman Final Victory, that's right. And I played Batman as his stunt double in one of the particular fights. So I met Leo that day on a sweltering August day in a basement in Cambridge in 2007.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew right then, that with the autumn approaching and the second season of Bridge Crusader, the shooting of Bridge Crusader coming up, that I had found my choreographer. The guy's 20 years old, English as a second language, one of the most brilliant young people I may ever meet, and also one of the most humble, and also one of the most focused, because this guy's passionate about this craft. He will be in this profession for the rest of his life, and he already knows it.
That's
so
awesome.
You know, here's a guy. He just did it all. And by the way, these fighting styles are Western fighting styles from the 1100s. These are the Crusades, and these are European fighting styles with broadswords. How would a kid from that part of the world at that age know that stuff? He pulled it off. He is gifted. He is gifted.
I'm telling you, and that's one of the things that I love about the people that, and I have no shame in saying this, that the universe has brought to me, because of the fact that it's like-minded. We gravitate to the same things. And here's a perfect example where a lot of people think that anytime there's a fight scene in a movie, it automatically is a movie that is not proper for kids. It has a negative message. It's glorifying violence. Nothing could be further from the truth in this movie because of the way it's done. There's a purpose for it, the style, the finesse, everything that's put into it. Honestly, it reminds me of the old chivalry days, of the elegance of sword fighting, when it was more about a thing of honor, not just to go and butcher each other. And
yay.
The thing that I love, yeah, and the thing I love the most, John, is the fact that you don't have to show blood everywhere. It does, you know, that's what takes away. It's the way it's done is so amazingly elegant and beautiful that it actually, I hate to compare it to this, it's almost like this elegant dance thing where it's a fight between these two gentlemen and the other people involved, and it's just so incredibly done and so graceful and so beautiful that you kind of like get drawn to it watching it, and the blood and the gore doesn't take away from it. You actually have the ability to focus on all the techniques, all the moves during the fight sequence because it's so focused on the choreography and how beautiful it looks.
Let me make a quick point about all this talk about fighting and fight choreography and blood and gore and things like that. There is a tremendous there's a need in context in the arc of the story for some of the fight scenes that we have, and we're putting little attention on these things because we study them and we do them and we think it's cool. It's really important to make note of the fact that this is not a violent movie, nor is it a gratuitous or gory movie at all. In fact, knowing John as I do, it would never have been acceptable to him, and I'm glad of that. We use some low budget special effects just to demonstrate that people are getting hurt in some of these brief scenes, but that's it, man. And then the story moves on and focuses on the more important parts of the story.
And that's why it's so important to mention that, because of the fact that people always have this perception that Hollywood has this perception that if people aren't running around naked and someone's limb isn't falling off or some other disgusting things happening, that people aren't going to go see it. And it's nice to actually see movies like this one made, I'm actually going to go out on a limb here and say that I have a good feeling that this movie's going to go places, because of the fact that it's so differently done, it's so beautiful, and it has a message, and it's showing Hollywood that, no, you don't have to be graphic in every little part of a movie. You can leave something to the imagination. You can do the old-style cinematography. Eric? You actually give us the opportunity to see you as an actor.
Hopefully. I think so.
And that's what's amazing, because you don't have all these bells and whistles to take away from the character that you created. And John, you, by the same token, have allowed that to happen without putting a lot of smoke and mirrors into this production that you created.
Yeah.
And that's very refreshing nowadays. It's good to see old-fashioned movie making. And that's what blew my mind.
I agree with you. I think that Eric was set out to pasture. Can I put it thusly? He was naked out there for a while, and not a lot of props mm-hmm. to hide behind, and not a lot of flashy things to rely on. Not a lot of crutches. And you see a guy out there who's the main focus of what's happening. And we're just blessed to have Eric, because otherwise I don't know that a lot of people could do it or would be even willing or wanting to do such a thing.
And that's a testament to your craft, Eric, because you're actually out there and you, like John said, you are creating this character with nothing but digging deep and making it real. And you have nothing else to rely on but your own talent and ability to make it real. And those are the kind of characters that get noticed. And I have no doubt, honestly, if this was a Hollywood production, that we would be hearing your name popping up for certain pieces of hardware, because it just, that's how amazing it is.
I got to be honest with you. That's I appreciate that feedback. I'm humbled by it. But I'll tell you something. I'm more proud of this story and of this project because it isn't a Hollywood project, which is nothing against what Hollywood does. They do amazing things lots of moving parts, and it's a lot of mastery and professionalism combined to create these wonders of technology and what have you. But the reason I'm so proud of Bridge Crusaders is we did a lot with little, and that's an understatement. Mm-hmm. We did a whole lot with a whole little.
Yeah.
It is. It's an amazing – oh, there goes the lady, 90 seconds. I have to have you guys back because this is just amazing, and it's funny. And it's just the fact that when you see this production, and my son, who's a film student, was looking at me like, oh, when did that come out? What film festival was it in? And I'm like, nope, independently done locally. And he's like, get out of here. Because he was just he's another one that can't wait to see the movie because he wants to pick the brain of the cinematographer because of the fact and the director. He couldn't comprehend that high quality being put by an independent movie. 60 seconds, guys. Thank you so much, John, for being on the show. We'll see you tomorrow. Eric, I have to tell you, Eric, I hope to see you tomorrow in full costume on a horse, because that's the only way you should show up at your premiere.
Oh,
cool to see your character come to life. I have to see you. It would be so amazing.
Let me throw out a couple of quick plugs. I want to thank various guests that have been on the show. It's been a pleasure, obviously. John, nothing but love and respect, and he knows it. Another item came up when Shelley mentioned Brandon Stumpf and the Fixer project. I have been cast in The Fixer, and I'm proud and also humbled to say it. And that is a TV show that's coming up in the Boston area. Watch for it. You can look it up online. The Fixer.
Thank you, Eric. That's it. That's all the time we got left. Thank you so much for joining us, and we will see you guys on Friday. Have a great one. Goodbye.
Perfect. Thanks, everybody. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.